Hello guys, welcome or welcome back to another episode of Haikyuu Adulting. Today I have my birthday twin, my soul sister, my bestie from LA. Hello, Miss Sabrina, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm hanging in there, like always, but I know I've been wanting to do this episode for so long, and I was like, Jada, just do it, just record it, just stop canceling on this girl. Yeah, we're gonna do it, and we're doing it, and it's happening right now. Introduce yourself to the podcast. You're one of the most inspirational people that I know. You're doing so much. You're Miss Busy, and you're always getting stuff done, like intentional busy, I feel like. And yeah, you're just an inspiration. Just tell everyone who you are.
Hi, I'm Sabrina. I am a filmmaker, primarily a director and producer and writer. And I am also a print model and an actress and also a philanthropist and pageant girl.
And activist and sister and lover and daughter. All the multi-hyphenate. I feel like all of my friends and I, we're just all multi-hyphenate, like, hyphenated people. So we just do this, that, the third, the fifth, everything. And it's just so funny because I'm like, genuinely, that's why I ask y'all to introduce yourselves, because I don't know how to. I'm like, I don't know what to say first. But yeah, I wanted to chat with you today about so many things that are going on in your life, just kind of like the future of Hollywood, just everything. I'm so excited. I feel like every time when I'm talking to anybody about like the future of Hollywood, you always come up in my conversation somehow, because I'm like, Sabrina's the future of Hollywood. Like, I'm just so excited. Like, I just trust the future of Hollywood, because you're gonna be in it. And it's so funny. And I just love it, because I'm like, it's so nice to see like this, like, as much as we're doing like right now in this time, it's so funny to see how everything's gonna evolve in like even 10-20 years, just to see how everything changes and gets to where we are. But like, these are the fundamentals, so I just want to know, like, I want to know, but also I want the podcast to know just kind of what started this bug, this filmmaking bug. Everyone's like, recording when I was little on my camera, but like, give us all the details. I want to hear the beginnings of how all this started for you.
Absolutely. I started falling into film when I was like 5, 6. I saw E.T. and then my dad got me the behind the scenes of E.T. and I saw Spielberg doing it, and I was like, I want to do that. And that was right after I had seen Chicago on a cruise ship, and I was mesmerized, and my dad was mortified, and I wasn't supposed to see that at 5 years old. And we walked in very late. We walked in like in the middle of the Cell Block Tango.
Oh, yikes.
And I was obsessed, and my dad's like, we're leaving. And I just wanted to do it. So my mom put me in acting classes, and I was already doing dance and print, and then filmmaking just kind of came right with it, where I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. And I kind of really took it seriously, where my parents were like, oh, this isn't just a hobby for her. This is something she's quite serious about and wants to keep doing. And I'm so lucky to have supportive parents who just, anytime, you know, birthdays, Christmas, where I'd be asking right. for a new camera or the next step or of equipment that I needed, they'd be willing to give me that instead of, you know, a DS or an iPod, things that I didn't necessarily need and things I wanted to invest in my career. And then 13 years old, I was writing scripts and learning online. I knew that you could have access to a lot of colleges curriculum, so I always didn't go to film school, but I mean, technically I went to film school at 13 years old. I was doing UCLA's and USC's courses and AFI and seeing what books they were reading and requiring, and so I learned script format from that and then started applying to different festivals and just made a bunch of crappy films, you know.
I mean, that's how it all starts. All of our work at first, it's like the first thing you make isn't gonna be gold, but everyone has to start somewhere. And I feel like sometimes people get so scared to just start and just to put their first step in, because it's like, oh, but like, it's not gonna be good. So like, what had you keep pushing kind of even after, like, I don't know, you just kind of had the equipment, you had the stuff, but it's like, okay, from there, what drove you to keep going further?
It was just really a love for it. I don't think, something I always say about film is I don't think it's linear at all. I think there's no end point of the fact that you reach a point and it's like, oh, now I make good films. I think you're just constantly going, and it's a constant uphill battle of how do I better improve myself and learning from your mistakes. I think every single film you make is never going to be perfect or what you necessarily thought it was going to be. Even if it comes close, there's always, oh, I wish I did this, or now I know to do this moving forward. And I hear that from my mentors, even at the highest level. Yeah. And I'm like, I love that, because I'm just someone who constantly likes challenging myself and learning and just continuing a journey. I'm not really looking for any end point of this means I made it. I'm really just like, how do I keep improving on what I've already done? And I think that really just pushed me to keep going.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that also kind of stems across for all creatives in a sense. Like, even if you're an actor, dancer, singer, like, you never really just reach this point where you're like, I'm the best. And I mean, some people feel like that, but like, you never really just reach that point where you just kind of, you just stop and like, you just keep working with what you got. Like, you're always really trying to improve or trying to see what you can make out of something new or try different skills and expand as much as you can go. Yeah. And I just feel like as a creative, sometimes that can feel interesting because it's like, oh, we're just kind of building up to this point where you just keep building. There's not really a place, like a landing pad. But at the same time, I feel like that should make creatives feel kind of better, because then there's not really this expectation to like land somewhere. Like, you know, like it's just always this constant, not uphill battle, but this unlinear, like you said, battle of just exploring and seeing how far you can expand outwards, not necessarily up and downwards, if that makes any sense. Like, instead of growing up, like, you're just growing out. That's actually what one of my friends said on the podcast like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, I find that so interesting that you, she was talking about networking specifically, but like networking, she's like, network horizontally, not vertically. She's like, you already have everyone, like, and I never heard that before, and I was like, that's so true. And I feel like you can view your career kind of as the same way, which is cool. But you record a lot on TikTok, and you really have built your personal brand on TikTok so well. Do you feel like that is something that has mostly contributed to where you kind of are now and the opportunities that you have had? And if so, do you recommend that everyone does that? Or is there other ways now besides social media that you feel like can help someone build in that way?
For sure. I think overall, I would say TikTok has definitely helped me and not necessarily hindered what I wanted to do. It's helped things come a lot faster. But I will say, people who don't have an interest in social media necessarily will still be fine without it. I don't think it's something that's like, this is the only way in order to now pursue what you're wanting to in a fast way and grow and reach an audience. I think there are other ways around that. But I definitely think it's kind of a double-edged sword, where it's helpful in some senses for people finding me and seeing what I'm doing, versus it's also, people will kind of categorize me as a TikToker and a little less of a filmmaker, take me a little less seriously when it comes to what I have to say as a director sometimes. But it kind of helps in the sense of like, the right people see what I'm doing, because everything I'm doing on TikTok is really just filmmaking and sharing what I'm already doing. So it's kind of like a opportunity meets preparation scenario, where I'm just kind of putting out what I'm already working on, right, and what I'm doing with or without Hollywood. And then people in Hollywood see it and they're like, oh, this is really interesting. Reach out to this girl and let's learn more. And how can we help? Why don't we bring you on for this thing?
I think heavy on the, if you're already interested in it, then like, do it. But if you're not interested, don't force something to happen, because it'll be so clear that it's just not a passion of yours to do. But because you're already like filming, and like, filmmaking is your style, it's like, recording an extra video on the side doesn't hurt you. It helps you and makes you feel like you're adding a more personable touch to all of the work that you're already doing. I guess when it comes from like an actor standpoint, a lot of people are like, I have to start social media now because like, only the people who have social media numbers are getting roles. What's your take on that?
So I think, as on the producer side and directing side of getting to be on that side of the casting table and having those conversations with casting directors, I definitely see where we are seeing a rise in talent that's also got social media clout to them being attached to projects. And I definitely see where that can be rewarding. But as somebody who took a front row seat on the acting side and on the directing side of a film that, you know, had a major key social media star attached to it and witnessed firsthand how much money that costs production, I don't think it's necessarily something production's running to do. And I think it's more helpful for, I appreciate it where actors are genuinely also passionate about just sharing their journey and their experiences. I think what you do is a great example of like how I get ready for auditions and how I, you know, move to LA with such and such age with X amount of dollars, how I pay rent, how I do these different things, come with me for this shoot and things like that. I think that's really great because it's kind of killing two birds, one stone type thing. And casting is more interested in the actors who are actually actors who happen to be on social media rather than social media is my world and what are you bringing to the table.
I wanted to get your perspective just because you are a director and you are on that side of stuff. And like, I wanted people to hear like firsthand, but I was also going to say the same thing. I feel like people, I mean, like depends on the casting that you're, I mean, that you're going into, but like also for the most part, they don't care. And like the people who are going in for these roles and stuff, like for the most part, like they don't have the numbers. Like they're not looking for the numbers. They genuinely are looking for the talent. And if anything, that should make you feel better because like then you don't have to focus on this number climbing game that really is just kind of pointless. Like it just doesn't really make any sense. The reason why people are, I mean, like you're thinking of the movies that like say the Instagram star does get the lead role. And it's like, you look at the movie and it's like, is that the kind of work as an actor that you even want to be a part of in the first place? You know, like they're getting those roles for a very specific reason. And yeah, I mean, even in like big feature films that are going on, like you see the social media star in like for a cameo because like it might be a social media related role. Like you're never really, I mean, so far I haven't seen some like big outbreak social media star being in something very, I don't know, like award-winning worthy, you know what I'm saying? Or like something that's just not really something that you would want to be a part of as an actor. I don't know. So I'm like, just focus on your own craft, like stay in your lane, because like genuinely the numbers isn't a defining factor. Like casting is always looking for the next big thing, like always looking for new talent, new things to bring to a set. And it's like, it's not the numbers. So don't worry about that at all. And yeah, if you want to organically share your stuff, then share your stuff. People would love to see that. But if anything, I even know some people who have the numbers that I've talked to and they're like, I'm not being taken seriously by casting. And it's very interesting to hear because like, they're like, I actually do want to pursue like acting, but because I do X, Y, and Z on social media already, they just don't think that that's the case. And I'm going in for this wanting it so bad, but my numbers is what's hindering me, which is funny because like you would think it'd be the opposite. So whatever you're seeing or whatever you think the industry is, it probably isn't. Yeah. So don't worry about that. But yeah, talk about your journey to LA and just kind of that whole thing, because I feel like it's always fun and people always want to know like the guests that I have on their individual journey and how they got there. So what got you there? When did you move? All the things. And yeah.
Yeah, I moved here at 18 years old, from New York City. I was transferred my college to out here, and then I moved on campus in Hollywood, which was so scary. And so for 18 and going from classes that would end at 11 p.m., sometimes like 11:30 at night, and walking alone, and I didn't know anyone here, actually. There were a couple people who transferred as well from the New York campus that I was on, but that was it. And didn't have anyone out here, no family, nothing. And then wound up moving into my first apartment while I was still in school, which just happened to be like right before the pandemic started. And then I was out here. Pandemic hit. I was like, oh my gosh, do I go home? Do I stay here? What's deal. I had just signed a lease though, so I'm like, I can't go home, and they're not offering like any support there if you need to go home at the time. And so I stayed out here, and I remember just realizing, oh, I live right next to Warner Bros. At the time, I was living right next to Warner Bros. And Warner was like the dream. And I was just like, I wonder how old school I can get with it of, you know, people who would pass out scripts at Warner and things like that. But I didn't want to be that person. So I just went on IMDb Pro and just found a bunch of people and emailed like ADs and PAs and gaffers and grips who were in the union and working on TV shows that were being produced at Warner, and all these different execs and directors and producers, and asked them for coffee and asked them to lunch. And I would offer to buy their lunch. So I was sending out about like anywhere between 100 to 500 emails, like every single week, to different people. And because nobody really was doing anything because of the pandemic, they were like, sure. So I took all these people to Lemonade, and I was losing money. I was literally walking dogs and doing DoorDash and losing money by spending it on paying like for these people's lunches. And it was so worth it though, because I was getting so much knowledge and information and advice, and I gained so many mentors from it. And I wound up getting opportunities to, you know, visit and sit in on writer's room at Warner and do, you know, shadow directors and all these different things. And so that really just helped me. And then, you know, things slowly started picking up, launched my production company in August of 2020. And then here we are now, 2023.
And you're here and you're thriving and you're doing your thing and you're moving up. And I'm so, so proud of you. I can't even express how proud of you I am. And I'm just so excited to see where you go. You're already doing so many cool things and making an impact in so many people's lives, especially sharing your story so candidly. Like, I don't know, people just assume that, like, you know, one day the one director's going to reach up to me and it's going to be that. And I'm like, yeah, sure. But if you're not helping your odds, like, I feel like a lot of people think that this industry is controlled by luck, which, don't get me wrong, a lot of it is, but like a lot of it is out of your hands as an actor. A lot of it is out of your hands as a creative. And I just don't think that that's true. And I've did an episode, I think like a year or two ago, with a friend of mine, and we talked so candidly about like how a lot of your opportunities need to come out or come through from you reaching out. Like, you cannot be scared to reach out to people. And like you said, you were losing money, but like, you didn't lose money. Essentially, your return of your investment was literally so, so high, because you're getting such knowledgeable advice from the people who did the damn thing. And like, that's something that, you know, we all crave as creatives. Like, how did you do this? How did you do that? And like, for me, I have this podcast. Like, I have all my friends here and you guys listen to this information for free and it's fun. But if you're trying to, like you said, like, how do I get hands-on, like with a director who's actually doing it, like someone who I love their work, admire their work, whatever. Yeah, IMDb Pro. Hey, an ex-friend of mine introduced me to IMDb Pro and it was the best thing in my entire life. And literally, I did the same thing. I got an agent and manager by reaching out to them. And that's what I did. And I think people are just scared to email. They're like, how do you get an agent? How do you think you get an agent? Like genuinely, how do you think you get, like, I mean, I just don't, you reach out. I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like people forget that people behind the emails, people behind the offices, like they're people. So like you're talking to someone directly when you're reaching out, and like, maybe someone's not going to see it. Maybe someone's going to throw it in the trash, but like, if that's going to be the thing that stops you from now emailing people, emailing, doing outreach, like, then you've got it all ass backwards, because like, these inboxes are open. Like, they're open. And like you said, it's funny, you were talking about like going the old school route. How old school could I get? And like, if anything, this is the most like old school, because like, people just think that like opportunities are just handed out left and right. Like, once you have the numbers, once you have this, once you have that, but like, you don't have to reach out, do the work. Like you said, 500 email, that, I mean, that's a lot, but you're getting that return, and it's so much more valuable than, oh well, I think I'll just wait for that lucky star to hit my inbox and maybe some director's gonna take me out to lunch one day, because like, you know, like, and I'm like, people don't have time for that. Like, people just don't have time for that. So you have to also understand that these people are working so hard on their crafts, working hard to make their movies, like whatever, they're doing whatever they are doing in their own lane. And if you're not adding value to that, thinking that you are worth so much, and you are. Let's not twist that backwards, because you are worth so much, but what value are you bringing to an agent? What value are you bringing to a manager? And people forget that aspect of it. And just thinking like, oh, like, when can I get my agent? When can I get my manager? Like, you've got to understand that this is a business at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So like, if you're not providing value, you're just wishing for something that's just going to not end up in your inbox. I'm sorry. So like, take it from Sabrina, take it from me. Like, people who just like, reaching out is my shit. I love it. I love it so much. I think that it almost, it gives me creative freedom to be able to get, and like, and guess what? 30, 40 years ago, that's hard. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, emailing, that whole thing wasn't really a thing. So now with technology, with social media, being able to reach out to someone is almost like the golden ticket. Like, but you've got to do your research. Like, you know, you can't just really just ask, you know, ex influencer, like, oh, how did you get your manager, and just like run with that and expect, you know, expect someone to answer you. That's not how you go about it. But like, if you're doing the dirty work and going in IMDb Pro, seeing who worked on this project that you really admired, whatever, and like you said, asking them to lunch, asking them for 5 minutes of their time in a respectful way that doesn't involve you asking for something that you don't deserve, because these people don't owe you anything. You just kind of have to humble yourself in that corner and be like, what do I have to offer? What can I work on myself to then be able to offer, so that people are willing to take you on, willing to take you seriously? Because no one's going to take a DM seriously that's like, hey, can you put me in your movie? And Sabrina, how many DMs have you gotten from people being like, put me in your movie? You know, and it's like, yeah, do the work. And it's honestly not that much work compared to all the work that you could have been doing 40 years ago, really trying to find people's like address in the yellow book, trying to knock on someone's door, being like, hey, put me in your movie. You know, like, these days you really can find someone's email. You can find someone's contact. Just do the work. And reach out. Outreach is so important. It can take you from 0 to 100 for real. Like, when it comes to opportunities, when it comes to, yeah, you finding your agent, finding your manager, learning acting, whatever. You can learn anything through outreach, honestly. And it's about just doing the work. People forget the whole research aspect of like getting things that you want. And like, it's out there. It's on the internet. So just like, do the work. I don't know. But yeah, outreach is very important. What is your biggest, I guess, tip when it comes to like outreaching and networking, when it comes to that side of stuff?
I mean, speaking to everything you just said, closed mouths don't get fed is my favorite saying ever. I think nobody knows you exist until you actually put yourself in front of them in the first place. And I think people forget that even when they have numbers, like, it doesn't matter how many numbers you have. That doesn't mean that this agent knows who you are. And that doesn't mean, you know, there are over 7 billion people in the world. You may have over 1 million followers and you're still not necessarily hitting the people who are the right people, who are the people you're trying to connect with. You really just have to send your stuff their way. And I think also just having yourself prepared for sending things people's way, and just always knowing what spaces you're entering, and the research part is so important. Like, I never enter a set or a networking event without knowing who's on the set, every single person, and having researched them before getting to that set. Call sheets exist. The names are right there. I will never put myself in the position of, you know, I don't talk badly about anyone on set or in the industry anyway, but I've had situations where I see people talking poorly about some film, and it happens that the DP on that set was the DP on that film. Mm-hmm. Or they're talking about how they hate, you know, XYZ director, and that's so-and-so's best friend. And, yeah, you know, you just like want to know who you're working with ahead of time and what opportunities you can present and put yourself in by knowing who you're working with. And I think even just in networking events, I always try to understand, you know, what company is inviting me to this, and what do they stand for, and what are they trying to achieve, and who are the people behind it, so I just know the faces when I get there. And having conversations and having things ready to go, I think I've never waited for anything in my life to be handed to me. I've always followed up myself with different routes of getting things done. And I think that's why I move so quickly in everything I do, and people are always really surprised by it. I think a lot of people wait around for opportunities, and even when an opportunity presents itself, they're kind of waiting for that person to loop back around. And I'm never the person that's waiting for a person to loop back around. I will literally do interviews with a company and the person will be like, oh, we'll let you know either way. That's the most dangerous saying for you to say, you know, because if I hear that and I haven't heard in like 3 weeks, I go on LinkedIn and I'll find their higher up, that person who interviewed higher up, and I'll reach out and say, hey, hope everything is okay. I just wanted to check in because I interviewed for this position with so-and-so who said that I would know either way in 3 weeks, and it's been 4 weeks, so da da da. And the higher ups are like, oh, what? I had what? Okay. They usually reach out and have asked me like, oh, I can interview you, or like, let's do a follow-up interview with the higher up. And then they're like, okay, cool, you got the job. So just things like that, where it's like, where one person says no, like, I think no's are just redirection. It's never like this door is fully closed. It's like no to this one door. And I always say that, you know, it's not one door that leads you into a house. There are multiple points of entry. So no with one door where it's closed is always, there's always another route into that. And if really every single door is closed and locked and it's like, this is the last way in, is it necessarily a house you're wanting to enter in the first place? And I think that's kind of the big way I look at things. So even just in networking events, having materials ready to go where I'm talking to people and they're like, oh yeah, I'd love to hear more about this project that you're working on. Here's my email, shoot me an email with more information. And I always have everything ready to go on my phone. Like, I have every single deck for every single project, like, in my files on my phone. Mm-hmm. And when people say that, I literally take the email right away and I send them the deck while I'm standing in front of them. They're always so surprised. And I'm like, oh yeah, just like, don't want you to forget. And I always make, you know, the subject matter, whatever networking event I met them at, that or whatever, you know, if someone introduced me to so-and-so, I'm like, so-and-so spoke of you, da 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 da, and that always catches people's attention. And it's like, so it's not going to their spam or anything. And they're like, oh, this girl is genuinely interested and serious about this. She's following up. She's doing this right away. And she has her stuff ready to go. It's not like a, oh, I told you about this project and now I have to go spend 3 weeks working on a pitch deck for this project. It's like, the deck's ready, the script's ready, everything's ready to go. It's just a matter of, are you going to be on board or not? And I think that's just how I operate with everything I do, where Hollywood has just kind of been like, okay, like, we have, how do we get on board behind this girl? Because everything I was doing was just kind of utilizing TikTok to say, hey, I'm doing this with or without you. Are you coming on board? And that's just kind of how I operate when it comes to networking with anyone and having conversations. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't necessarily, you know, meeting with agents and stuff, it's like, I may need you, but you also need me as much as I need you. So it's like, I'm going to be doing this one way or another. Are you the person who's going to be the right fit for me and come on board?
Yeah, that, yes, heavy on all of that. Being hungry in a realistic way, but also in a way where, like, you value yourself so much that you understand that it is, yes, it's a business, but, like, as much as they need you, you and you need them, it goes both ways. And people also forget that. And I have friends who, like, go into agent meetings and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous, like, I'm so scared, like, I don't really know, like, what they want from me. And I'm like, well, then if they don't want you, I don't think you should want them. And, like, you have to understand the value in yourself. And there's, I mean, we're just speaking on Hollywood, but, like, genuinely, this goes in any field that you're in. You don't really want to work for a team or work for people that you just don't see yourself, like, that you don't admire, that you don't see yourself becoming a part of the bigger picture, because then you're just kind of wasting your time. Like, you're just trying to force something, like, ends to meet that just aren't ever going to meet, and, like, you're wasting your time. So, like, if someone doesn't like you, if there's a no, redirect, pivot. Like you said, there's so many different ways to get into a house, just which one. And like you said, if it's not, if you can't, then it's the wrong house, like, literally wrong house. And, like, this happens a lot, especially I can speak on, like, the influencer side, the content creation side, when it comes to working with brands, because I see so, oh my gosh, the content creator, like, side of TikTok exhausts me so much, because people are always like, oh my gosh, how do you get this, and how do you reach out to, and what brand email did you get from that? Like, if you're not doing the work and you're not trying to make your content better or trying to do all the other things besides just, like, getting the opportunity, that you might not even be ready for, by the way. Like, are you ready to work with the biggest, like, are you ready to work with Target? You know what I'm saying? Like, and if you're not and your content doesn't meet that, why are you trying to work with Target right now? Like, it's just not the time. Like, are, what value are you genuinely providing to Target? You know, and like, whatever. And that's just one example. But like, I mean, this has happened so many times. Like, I usually, when I want to work with a brand, I like DM them on Instagram first and I'm like, hey, like, what email can I follow up with, like, for a potential pitch, like, to whatever, I would love to work with you guys. And if they're like, oh, like, and they send me a link for like something, I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna be seen through this, and I already know that. So I go on LinkedIn, I go on whatever, I look up the person who's in charge of social media stuff or someone who's head in marketing or something and reach out to them, and they usually get back to me, honestly, because then at that point it's like I've done the work, and it's like, I mean, my message is either gonna not be seen or it's going to be seen. But usually, like, if you do the work, you'll get something in return. And it might not be an opportunity right away, but maybe it's a connect to even know that, like, oh, I'll keep you in mind for future projects, whatever. And like, that goes for anything. Like, I mean, there have been so many times, like, I'll get like social media, like, jobs and things like that when it comes to like working for a brand and they need like social media help or something like that, and I'm like, oh, I want to work for this brand so bad and I want to help them like with their social media, and I'm like, oh my gosh, 500 people probably applied to this. So I'll go and message them, like the literal CEO of this new startup or whatever, like personally, and be like, hey, I really want to work with you guys and I see my vision for it, I know the how this can help, whatever. Like, they can't help but to say yes to you because you're so ready and so, like you said, like, you don't go on set without just like knowing the people that you're gonna work with. Like, you kind of have to be hungry in the way that you know how to be hungry, so that you're able to provide this value just as much as you think that they're gonna provide value to you. Like, it's an exchange that you have to be prepared for, and if you're not prepared, you got to just work on some of the stuff that you have to offer first, or the things that, you know, or like how you feel about yourself even is a big one. Because if you're not confident in the work that you produce and you're like wanting to work with X, Y, and Z, they're not going to want to work with you, especially if you don't see the value in yourself, you know. So it's like, I don't know, it works in so many ways. But I think heavy on the what opportunity is meant for you is meant for you too. So like, don't feel the need to just reach out and do all this stuff and then feel sad that like nothing's coming. It just might not be the time. But also work on your package. Like, really do work on the stuff that you have. And I don't know, I guess I'm thinking specifically heavy on like the agent manager stuff, because I feel like that's like the biggest question I get all the time. It's like, how did you get that? Like, how did you? I'm like, I got it because I was ready. Like, I packaged myself well enough to know like what I wanted, what kind of manager that I wanted. So I knew what to accept. I didn't just want to accept the first person that, you know, had an offer to me because they wanted me. Like, I'm like, I want to accept the person that is right for me. And like, there's something to be said about knowing what's right for you versus just kind of taking on whatever. Because if you become this yes man that's just like, yes, yes, sure, yes, you're going to literally burn yourself out because it's all the stuff that you just don't want to do, you know. But I don't know, is it the Aries energy, Sabrina? Like, we just like, because I'm like, we're just like, go reach for it, email. Yeah, like, email, do it. I don't know. I guess a lot of people fear rejection. Like, I guess that's something maybe you want to speak on, fearing like rejection, if you have anything on that.
I think if you fear rejection, my honest opinion is you're in the wrong industry, because this industry is only rejection. It doesn't matter what level you get to. It's just constant no's in any aspect. I mean, you can be working on a $60 million film and they're still telling you no about things that you want in order to fulfill your vision. And, you know, you're still not getting equal pay. You're still not having all these opportunities. Like, there's still issues in the industry. And it's just always no left and right. And, you know, you have to be insane and really love it to actually do well in this industry, because it's just a waiting game. And I think so often everyone's like, I want this now, 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 now. And you don't understand. So like, speaking to what you said of, you know, it's not always an opportunity that comes out of reaching out to these people right away. It's something that maybe it's just that connection and you develop a relationship there and they keep you in mind for something way down the line. I mean, I literally, my first professional directing job, I was 17 years old in New York City. I directed a YouTube skit that paid me $150, and the check bounced from the producer. I didn't ever say anything about the check bouncing. The producer reaches out to me 6 months later and is like, just realized the check bounced, and sends me a Venmo payment for this $150 for directing. And that was the first time I got paid to direct in New York City. Flash forward, literally this past, like last month, February, I get a direct offer for directing my first like major thing that will be happening this year. And it's a huge like narrative thing that's like my, what my end goal has always been. And I am super confused as to why they're reaching out to me with a direct offer. I didn't have to pitch on this. This is the first thing I've never had to pitch on as a director. They were like, we just like your style and your voice, and this is what we want from you. And that wound up being because the producer from New York from years ago came across me on TikTok and said, why does this girl look familiar? And then clicked on my link tree and said, the name seems familiar. And he typed it in his emails and finds my old Yahoo email that I was using at 15 years old, and literally says, oh my God, this is the girl who directed that skit.
That's
and
he was, so funny.
I never forgot how you directed that skit. And I was like, she's so passionate about this, and she's 17, and it's just a stupid little YouTube skit, and this girl is like giving it her all and so for it. And I saw all the things that you were doing on TikTok, and my friends like looking for a director for this at this like studio, and the studio was like, we're gonna be looking at a bunch of drama like heavy directors and stuff. He was like, you have to look at this one girl. She doesn't have anything major like the other directors you're looking at who have done, you know, like X amount of feature films for A24 and Hulu and whatever, but she has this director's reel and she can handle this. And they wound up liking me. And so they reached out with a direct offer. And I was like, the fact that that's such a waiting game, I never heard from that man ever again in the entire past, like 5-6 years. And now we're here where it's like, oh, okay. So it's just really a waiting game. And I think too often it's like people want now, now, now. And that doesn't fly in this industry. And you can't be afraid of no, because in the meantime, while you're not getting your now, 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 you're getting a lot of no, no, no. So it's just constantly putting yourself out there and somebody tearing you down. And I think what really broke it for me is like, obviously for me, it's a little different because I grew up doing print and commercial and being in the dance world where it's just, you're constantly being broken down to a T, and that's like your body, your image, your look, everything, your technique, you know? And I think for me, I always just kind of had that mindset of, you know, rejection is just redirection, and it's really to help you build as a person. And I think being in acting school, they kind of almost took away my love of acting for a sense, because they'd be like, they sit you down and they tell you in the middle of the semester during your finals, like, you suck at this class because of this. And when I was in New York, I was theater based. My roommate was 16 years old. I was 17 years old. We're the two minors. And then theater wasn't something I was really comfortable with. I hadn't done it since I was a child. And it was just, I knew I loved acting, but I didn't love theater because I was just not very big with my emotions and acting for stage, you know? So they sit you down though, and they'd be like, you suck at this class because of this. You suck at this because of this. You're never going to make it in this because of this. But the good thing is you're great for film and TV, so you should do that. And I'd be like, great. That hurt, but cool. I'm going to take it. I'm going to go to LA. And I mean, of course I worked on the stuff in the meantime for me staying there that I could fix with stage. And that really helped my technique and training and how I speak to actors now as a director.
Yeah.
But I took with me, what can I fix and what do I have that's going for me and how do I build on that? And if that meant moving to LA, it was like, that's what it, at the end of the day, that's what it is. There's just more opportunity for me in film and television and being on screen, acting for the camera instead of acting for stage out here. And that's the steps I had to take. And I think a lot of people aren't willing to sit in that and really ponder what's wrong with me, because that's the hardest thing to do, is to look at yourself and be like, what am I doing wrong? And maybe it's me, because sometimes it's not always the industry. Sometimes it really is like, are you taking classes? Are you, you know, doing the things that need to be done? Are you giving a performance in each audition? I am very big on treat each audition as if it's the last and only time you'll ever get to do this. And sometimes it is, and that's all you have. Why not give it your all and really just go for it and have fun with it? And I think that really separates when I started having that mindset, instead of this is an audition, I have to freak out right now and really nail this and make it perfect, and it can't, it has to be exceptional in order for me to get this. I'm trying to get this part, I'm trying to get a callback. As soon as I threw out that mindset and just treated it like, this is a performance, this is my chance to be this character and have this role is mine right now, and I started approaching auditions like that, things started changing for me very quickly. And I think finding in myself that I was the problem and holding myself back from things, and, you know, realizing like, oh yeah, I went to acting school, but I still need to keep taking class. I'm not done just because I graduated from acting school. You know, the work is never really done. Am I annotating these characters? Am I annotating the script? Am I diving into who this person is? Am I just reading the lines and memorizing them versus actually getting to know this story and speaking from a place of truth for my character? And I think that really changes things. And when it just comes to rejection, you have to be prepared for the fact that sometimes this is an industry. It's like when I see a lot of people get rejected with modeling, it's really interesting, because so many people will be like, oh, well, they're commenting, you know, pageant world, modeling, dance world, they're talking about, oh, well, that was harsh, da 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 da, or how can you say, like, everyone's beautiful, da 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 da. And it's like, yes, I totally agree and believe that, but not for this industry, these industries that you're talking about, where it's, you're selling based on someone's looks, like, you're selling based on someone's product. You're in the wrong field if you're going to be getting hurt by people critiquing.
Yeah, you literally can't
change your image, or, you know, so it's the same thing with acting and filmmaking and the entertainment industry as a whole. You can't really, if you're someone who feels very sensitive and can't adjust to rejection, then it's not the right industry for you, and that's okay. And I think a lot of people really want it, and then they get here and they realize that's really all it is for a long time, no matter what steps you're at. You know, you have Zendaya and Sydney Sweeney talking about how they don't get to cherry pick their roles at their level, and how they get a lot of rejection, and how many roles they wanted that they're not getting at the level that they're at, that they're still auditioning for. And I think once people realize that, they kind of freak out, because it's really all they built themselves up to know. And I think that's when you really just have to sit with yourself again and be like, what else do I want to do? What else am I passionate about? Because it's not always just because you said you wanted this, you have to stick with it.
Yes, that's so good. I'm glad you just gave us a word to God, because literally that was it. Like, I feel like, yeah, just people assume like, well, yeah, the rejection will stop someday. And it's just like, no, like, you really have to be prepared for this lifelong, like, if you choose to go down this path, this lifelong battle against no's that you will always get. And viewing no's as this thing that's just like, oh, shoot, my life ends. Like, you know, like, that just kind of, that really does suck everything out of it. And I think at a certain point, like, I'm not going to lie, right before I started TSW, I was going in for so many incredible auditions, and I felt like I was taping so well for each one and just like not getting anywhere. And I would hold on to the scripts. Like, I made a TikTok about it, actually. I made a TikTok about like how after every audition, I like kept this script file, and it was just all these scripts and sides of auditions that I had just recorded, and it would just sit there, and then I would never get callbacks. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to declutter this shit, first of all, throw it all out and just like recycle, because I'm like, what is it sitting there for? Like, I mean, genuinely, I haven't gotten a callback for something other than like commercials in so long. So I'm like, why is this just all sitting there? And there was this one audition that I really, really, really liked that came up, and I was like, wow, it's a Blasian character. Like, that's never really happened. That, like, rarely happens. And I was like, I'm going to throw everything that I can into this and just, like, have fun with it. Have fun exploring the character. Because I feel like I was getting into this, like, monotonous recording, like, literally memorize, record, like, thing. And I hated it. And like, even Chris was like, Jada, you don't like this. Like, you're not liking this. He's like, do you want to be an actor? And I was about to freaking smack him because I was like, don't ask me that. Like, don't, whatever. And I was getting so defensive because I was like, no, like, obviously I love to do this. Like, I'm just frustrated because I want it to be good. And it's just like, I did not like it. I actually resented acting, like, for a good bit early in last year, around this time, actually. And it was just bad. And so I was like, you know what? This audition just came through. I'm really just going to enjoy it. I, like, spent time actually annotating the character, like, really diving into it, like, seeing what I wanted to bring to the character, not even putting too much pressure on what casting wanted from me, just like what I wanted to bring to it, and just letting it go. And that was the first, like, sides, like, I just kind of, like, tossed away. I was like, eh, whatever. I just tossed them away, and I got a callback for it, and I was like, what? And it was like that, and that had not happened. And I was like, okay, maybe it was just because it was a Blasian character and, like, they could finally see me as it. But, like, genuinely, because I was like, girl, oh my god, being mixed, like, it has its pros, it has its cons. But, like, I'm genuinely, sometimes when I'm going in for Black roles, like, they don't see me as, like, the stereotypical Black person that they want. And then same thing for Asian, like, they're looking for very stereotypical Asian characters. So, like, when they look at me, they're like, well, I don't really know where to put you. So that's why I kind of go for, like, all the leading stuff that they send me out for. But it kind of, like, bites me in the butt sometimes, because it's like they either are looking for something very specific or they're open to whatever they want. So I'm like, so sometimes I have trouble, like, trying to be like, oh, do I have to be more stereotypical Black? Do I have to be more stereotypical Asian in order to get this role? And I'm like, I'm just going to bring whatever I bring to this. And so for this Blasian character, I was like, well, that's me. Like, I guess I'll just bring me to the audition. And, like, I do think that not only because it was a Blasian role, but because I just felt so good about what I was bringing to the table is when that callback came through. And I was so honored to be able to sit in a callback Zoom session with this casting director that I admired, and she's cast so many wonderful projects. And I was like, wow, even if this doesn't go anywhere, this was the best callback that I've ever had. This was the best audition that I've ever had. And that was it. I didn't hear back from it because someone else got it. But, like, but genuinely, it taught me so, so much. Not only that, I mean, seeing in the hindsight of things that I was going to go into TSW, like, that would have not been fun to not have been able to enjoy my, like, first thing if I got it. Like, you know, it's just viewing everything from so much bigger of a perspective. But I do remember having such a good session and being like, man, if this doesn't go anywhere, I felt so good. And I never resented not ever hearing back from it. And I feel like that's when you know when rejection is just kind of this thing where it's like, okay. And when you can just kind of, like, pat rejection on the back and be like, you're cute. Like, I mean, you're going to step in every once in a while and say hi to me. Like, you just kind of ruin all this pressure of, like, no. Because, like, you know, like, we just had such a bad association with rejection that it just makes you resent rejection. But when you're open to it and just understand the process of it, it makes it so much easier. And, like, I genuinely felt so happy with that and was like, I know that casting director, we will meet sometime soon in the future again to do something else, because, like, I just remember just having such a great session with her, and, like, they just had a different vision for this character. So mm-hmm. If that doesn't teach you something, then it's like, this is the wrong industry for you. Like, if that was like a Jada, no, but you should have gotten forward. Like, no, like, I understand from an actor's perspective, from a person just, you know, one of the moving parts in this industry, I understand what it is to be rejected. And if you don't understand that, you're right. It's just the wrong industry. So that's our take on rejection. That was a big one, but I hope that gave you something. But yeah, I want to pivot a little bit because I know I really wanted to talk about this. This was, like, one of the biggest things I wanted to talk about was your activism side of things when it comes to everything. This is one of the most inspirational parts of you that I believe, like, you really are going to just be a force to be reckoned with in this industry. You already are. But talk about that. Talk about your, you know, all of that stuff. I want you to introduce it because it's something that I feel like you can introduce better than I can.
Yeah, I am currently part of the Miss USA family, where my platform of choice is the Children of Tomorrow, which kind of just focuses on anything that's affecting the next generations, primarily sexual assault, sex trafficking, childhood cancer and, you know, hunger. And for me, I've been working with Congress for the past year and a little bit more before that. I think when I say that, people kind of think that's just when it started. I was working with other organizations before that on passing bills for sexual assault survivors, but it's kind of only last year that I've been working on my own bill with Congress and working to pass my own stuff and pass creating my own nonprofit organization.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. It's so awesome. And you also tie that in with your company, Yellow Rain Productions, which is your production company. And I just find that so, so awesome that you're just kind of, I really don't know how, like, I look at you and I'm like, how do you balance all this stuff? Like, I'm just like, it's everything on top of everything. And you just manage to make it happen. And I feel like you do have this grounding tie of activism that kind of keeps you grounded too in this industry, which also, I guess it ties back to the rejection part. It's like, it almost doesn't matter all of that stuff when it comes to fighting for something so much bigger than you. And I'm like, if you just view acting as this thing where it's like, I'm gonna be a star, which, like, I hope you are, I hope you do become the star, but, like, do you have something that's grounding you to a bigger why? And I feel like, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, I feel like that's something that's really grounding you and keeping you tied to a bigger picture. So it doesn't really matter if you get rejected for something, like, you're just kind of like, okay, on to the next, because I have things that, like, I am in control of when it comes to your production company or whatever, that, like, you're just creating art that, like, makes you feel like you're doing something that's for a bigger reason. And, like, that's all you really need. So, like, I guess if you're finding trouble finding a way to, I mean, in whatever creative, you know, creative, what's it called? In whatever creative avenue that you're in, if you're finding trouble finding a way to, I guess, find a bigger reason, I feel like that's also why we kind of post on TikTok and, like, whatever, because, like, we have creative control over that. Like, that's something that we fully just do because we want to. And, like, that makes us happy. Like, I feel like you just really have to dive deep and find something else to be passionate about, to get interested in, because, like, people forget that, like, acting or, like, just being in this industry in general, it's not just about this industry. You kind of have to have something else that you're passionate about so that you keep going, because the no's do get tiring. Like, don't get me wrong, we're not just being like, hug rejection and say hi. Like, the no's get tiring, you know, and it is annoying, but, like, because I'm so grounded to other things, it becomes less harsh, less intimidating, you know. But yeah, I definitely want to touch on that just a little bit. But is there anything coming up or anything that we should know about, things that we should support or what?
My film Along Came Sunday short film is going to Amazon soon.
Yay!
So that's fun. I am in pre-production for some fun stuff that is be available, and some stuff that I acted in is coming out this year, so that's exciting. And then, yeah, I mean, like, working on this bill.
Yeah, I know. Oh my gosh, I just don't know how you do it, but I'm so, so proud of you. I'm, again, so excited to see all the things that you continue to do. We're excited to see you walk in pageant and do all that. Is that streamable, by the way? Like, are we going to be able to watch that, or is that not?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So we should keep out for that. The date, do we tell the date?
March 29th through April 2nd. Yeah.
Fun. Oh my gosh. Yes, guys. Yeah. We're rooting on Sabrina. Miss Maryland, here we come. And if not, it's okay. But I have good hopes for this. This is going to be exciting. But thank you so much for finally coming onto the podcast. I hope we can do a date episodes in the future. I loved having you on. I've been wanting to have you on for so long, and we finally did it. But yes, I will leave all of Sabrina's handles and all of that stuff down below so that you guys can check her out. And yes, thank you so much. We will hopefully have a follow-up episode in the future.
Yay.
Thanks for listening, guys, and I will talk to you guys on a future episode. Bye.